cover the remainder of the answer to this question, which we are being answered. What is the question which is being answered?
All can one disassociate with the particular energy.
Very good. Yeah. How can one disassociate with? Maya. So, the answer to this question has been going on. And we're now continuing. 33. Tonight is chapter 3. Start with text 23. So, a sincere disciple should learn to disassociate the mind from everything, material and positively. Cultivate association with his spiritual master and other saintly persons. He should be merciful to those in an inferior position to him. Cultivate friendship with those on an equal level and meekly serve those in a higher spiritual position. Thus he should learn to deal properly with all living beings.
Srila Madhvacharya is quoted from the Garuda Puran to demonstrate that within this universe, those who take birth as demigods, great fishes, or pious human beings are all considered santa, or saintly persons. According to Bhagavad Gita, Prakudya Vishya Veda.
But she can be a bit loud. Too soft.
Loud.
At least be loud.
Sure. The Varnashrama culture described in Vedic literature deals mostly with the living entities who are struggling within the three modes of nature. The Vedic literature teach such conditioned souls that material happiness can be achieved only through pious births. In this sense, the demigods are to be considered the most pious living entities within the three modes of material nature. The rishis are the great saintly mystics of the universe who are able to travel at will to various planets and who cultivate mystic powers are to be considered somewhat below the demigods. And those human beings on earth who perfectly execute the Vedic rituals are to be considered in the third or lowest category of santa or saintly persons. But a devotee of the Lord is beyond the three modes of material nature. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vacha yoga vyabhichare na bhakti yoga na sevate sanguran savite yaita brahma bhuvya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, and once transcends the modes of material nature, and thus comes to the level of the Lord. Thus Lord Krishna clearly says that a Vaishnava who does not fall down from the regulations of Bhakti Yoga is beyond the three modes of nature. And Lord Krishna advised Arjuna, a Krishna Bhakta, to transcend the three material qualities of the illusory creation of Maya. This Trayagunyo Bhava Arjuna. But in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Tatat asti prithvya deveshu vapura sattva prakriti jai muktam yat evihi syatri hirunai. There is no being existing either here or above the demigods of the higher planetary systems who is free from the three modes of material nature. Thus the demigods are not exempt from the pollution of the three modes of material nature, whereas a pure devotee actually becomes guratita or transcendental to the influence of Maya.
So any points?
Is Lord Shiva also free from three modes?
Yeah.
He's also covered then?
No, not covered. Superficially covered.
So because here it says that all the demigods are controlled by three modes.
He's not a demigod. He's much more powerful than he's Shiva Tattva, he's much more powerful than him. He's not Jiva Tattva. Any other point?
But how come devotees are beyond the three modes? Everyone is in the mode of compassion also, lot of services.
No, it means pure devotees. It doesn't mean us. All of us are contaminated by the modes of nature. These are advanced devotees. That doesn't mean like the devotees in this room. no one here is like beyond three modes of material nature. It means like very advanced. Any other point? So it is being explained, these are the qualities of a disciple. Right? If you are a disciple, if you're initiated, or if you want to become initiated, you have to understand these qualities. So this verse explains how to associate with different types of persons. So this has been covered previously. Rupa Goswami mentions this in the Upadeshamrita, right? How to associate with different people. And particularly it is mentioned how one should associate with someone who is very advanced. So what is the quality of someone who is very advanced? He is not affected by the modes of material nature. So because he's not affected, then we should get his association. Because if you associate with advanced devotees, they will lift you up. And you will also become free from the effects of the modes of nature. So you have to find advanced association. So then it is mentioned that, as we mentioned last night also, the guru must be realized and... What was the other quality we mentioned? Yeah, he must be renounced. The guru must be detached from the material world. If the guru is attached, how can you be a guru? You can't be a guru if you're attached to the material world. Right? And unless you realize, have realized knowledge, atma tattva, then you cannot be a guru. No? So the guru must have this qualification. He must be beyond the effects of the modes of material nature. So as you read through these verses, you'll understand what is the qualification of a guru and what is the qualification of a disciple. If a disciple is qualified and the guru is qualified, then one will become enlightened. But if the disciple does not follow, devotees, they quite often say, oh, give me blessings. Devotees say this. What does it mean, give me blessings? We bless you. No, it doesn't mean that. It means the blessing is the instruction. Right? When the guru gives you the instruction, right, that is the blessing. And if you follow the instruction, that's when you make advancement. The problem is many people don't follow the instruction. Right? They get the instruction of the guru, but they don't follow it. No? So if you get the instruction, you don't follow, how will you advance in Krishna consciousness? So you have to follow. That's the qualification of the disciple. And what is the guru's qualification? It's being mentioned all through this section. He's above the modes of material nature. He is a realized soul, right? And he is detached from the material world. If he has these qualifications, then there will be proper... Because so many people, especially now in Kali Yuga, they go to gurus who are not qualified, are not actually detached. How will they advance? Any points?
Srila Prabhupada said that it should be a Vaishnava, disciple, a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Then only he is allowed to be
guru.
Real guru.
Yeah.
So if he is not affected by the three modes, then he is above the material nature. It's the same thing.
What is it?
You said three things.
Yeah.
You should be
above the modes. Realized and renounced. Anything else? Okay. So then as we go further through the purport, these are very long purports, this section. It mentions that the qualification of the disciple, he must become a preacher. The disciple must follow the footsteps of the guru. What does the guru do? He tries to give Krishna to others. He is a teacher, he is a preacher. What is the qualification of the disciple? He must also follow in the footsteps of the guru. To their level of capacity. Okay, maybe we can't be like our guru. Or maybe we're not expert preachers, but we can all do something. You can explain Krishna to someone. You can give someone some understanding of Krishna. Everyone can do that. Anyone can do that. So everyone has to do that. Whatever the guru is doing, then you also have to repay the debt by also becoming a teacher or preacher. Help spread Krishna consciousness. Now, if it's not so easy for you to preach, then give Prabhupada's books to someone. Let Prabhupada preach. But somehow you have to engage in preaching activity.
Is there any difference between teaching and preaching?
Teaching is more explaining to the devotees. Preaching is to the new people. So then, we're learning about the characteristics of a disciple. Shishastiham sadinam tvam prapanam. Arjuna says to Krishna in the Gita, I am your disciple, a soul surrendered unto you, please instruct me. So the disciple has to have that qualification. Right? You must be surrendered to the spiritual master. Be surrendered to the spiritual master, then transcendental knowledge will take place. That's why Prabhupada said on one occasion, the most important verse in Bhagavad Gita is Tadvidi Pranipatena. So, approach the guru, inquire submissively, render service. If you render service, right, then your heart becomes purified, and when the guru speaks, the instructions will enter the heart. If you don't have a service attitude, you can ask questions, you can be submissive, but you have to serve, then qualification comes. Otherwise, transcendental knowledge will not fructify in the heart. No? People come to the temple, they don't do service, they just come and eat prasad. No? Every day they come. Sometimes 2 times a day, sometimes 3 times a day. They don't do service. A little bit of service, but not much. So spiritual knowledge will not fructify in the heart unless you do service to Krishna. Any points? Okay. So read the next. To serve the spiritual master, the disciple should learn cleanliness, austerity, tolerance, silence, study of the Vedic knowledge, simplicity, celibacy, non-violence, and equanimity in the face of material dualities, such as heat and cold, happiness and distress. So what are being mentioned here? Yeah, qualities of a disciple. You have to cultivate these qualities. Very nice qualities. These are mentioned many places in the Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita. These qualities are mentioned. You have to cultivate these qualities. First one is, you have to be clean. If you're not clean, how will you advance in Krishna consciousness? You have to learn. External cleanliness, internal cleanliness. Both have to be there. Right? You have to learn what is cleanliness. A lot of devotees don't understand cleanliness very properly. I did a seminar on cleanliness a number of years ago, 5-6 years ago. So devotees should understand cleanliness in Krishna consciousness. And internal cleanliness. Internal cleanliness means you are thinking of Guru and Krishna, not thinking of so many material things. So this means the consciousness has to become purified. Then there is austerity. Rishabhdev says, Kapola Divyam. Austerity must be for Krishna's pleasure. If you do austerity, just like we read back in the 10th canto, who was cutting his flesh off to please Lord Shiva? What's his name? Vritta. Remember, he was cutting his flesh off to please Lord Shiva. This is not transcendental austerity. This is austerity in the mode of ignorance. Austerity must be done for the pleasure of Krishna. right? You can do austerity. Austerity is good because it purifies the consciousness. Prabhupada says, or actually Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, austerity purifies even the great souls. Anyone who does austerity will be purified. But your austerity must be for Krishna's pleasure. It should not be for your own pleasure. Just like in the Gambira, Govinda Das was the servant of Lord Chaitanya. So one time he was massaging Lord Chaitanya, his legs, and then Lord Chaitanya was lying down, and Lord Chaitanya was so tall, he was 7 foot tall, he took up the whole room. So he had to get on the other side to massage Lord Chaitanya's legs. So he put a gamsha over Lord Chaitanya, and then he stepped over Lord Chaitanya and massaged his legs. And then Lord Chaitanya woke up sometime later, and he was sitting there. He said, what are you doing here? Why don't you go and take prasadam? You didn't have your lunch. He said, because I could not get out of the room. He said, why could you not get out of the room? He said, you stepped over me to do service to me. When you're finished, why didn't you? He said, I will commit thousands of offenses, right, to serve you. So I will step over even the Lord's body to serve him. But for my own sense gratification, I will not commit any offense. So he would not go over the Lord's body for his own sense gratification. Right? So that is spiritual austerity.
Also, they say that you should not step over or cross the flowers offered to the deities.
Yeah.
It's a big offense.
Yeah.
So how can you...
Anything which is spiritual, you should not step over that. You should not step over devotees, anything.
Narsingdev is very displeased.
Yeah. Next quality is tolerance.
Prabhupada, you said the austerity purifies the great souls.
Yeah, Krishna says.
Okay. But the thing is, great souls are already purified.
They become more purified.
Okay.
So then, tolerance. Tolerance means you have to learn to tolerate. Yeah. If you're in the material world, you have to tolerate, right? Because the material world is getting more and more crazy, right? Every day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think it is crazy now, you just wait 10 years.
And no limit to tolerance. No limit.
Yeah, you have to become very tolerant to get through the material world, to get back to Krishna. Then, silence. Silence means?
Only talk about Krishna.
Yeah, we're talking about Krishna. So right now, I'm practicing Mauna. Mauna means only speak about Krishna. If you're not speaking about Krishna, don't talk. Then, study of the Vedic knowledge, Swajaya. Self-study. Swajaya means, when you read Prabhupada's books, you should study yourself. Right? Am I like this? Am I like that? Am I like what I'm reading? Do I have these qualities I'm reading now in this verse? Every time we read Prabhupada's books, we should be studying ourselves. Am I becoming better? Am I becoming worse? Like that. We should study.
Prabhu, I do that, but it's really depressing.
As long as you're going forward, that's the point.
I don't know
if that's okay. Well, if you're going forward, then going backwards, that's not good.
It's just depressing.
As long as you're going forward. Prabhupada said, do not become disheartened, but you should stay enthusiastic. As long as you see some progress, that's okay. Then, simplicity. Live simple, because everything gets taken away from you anyway. Everything you own, it will be taken away. So just keep it simple. Then, celibacy. If you want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, you have to be celibate. Right? More sex life takes you away from Krishna. Less sex life brings you closer to Krishna. That's why sannyasis, they have no sex life, because they're so serious about Krishna consciousness. Non-violence. Okay, we don't eat meat, but do you kill the insects? Do you harm the plants? All these things, you have to think. Not just human beings, not just cows, so many living animals.
Can I ask a question about non-violence?
Yeah. Yeah.
Say, in my house there are a lot of tulsi plants. And if I see a moth, can I leave the moth because moth will spoil the tulsi plant?
Then you have to remove the moth. One sec.
You can kill.
Yeah, better to catch it and take it away.
That is best.
That's best. If you can't, then...
Thank you.
But they fly so quickly. They fly so quick.
Yeah, so you have to be practical. And then, equipoise, immaterial duality. Equipoise. If something's good, don't become too happy. If something's bad, don't become too distressed. One who's advanced, he stays equipoised. Right? Something good happens, okay, that's good. Not such a big deal. Something bad happens, okay, that's bad. Not such a big deal. That's how the body is. You just have to be equipoised. Any points? One should practice meditation by constantly seeing oneself to be an eternal, cognizant spirit soul and seeing the Lord to be the absolute controller of everything. To increase one's meditation, one should live in a secluded place and give up false attachment to one's home and household paraphernalia, giving up the decorations of the temporary material body. One should dress himself with scraps of cloth found in rejected places or with the bark of trees. In this way, one should learn to be satisfied in any material situation. So, you read this. It says, dress your body with pieces of cloth that you find in rejected places. How do you feel about that? Yeah, you do it?
I wish I could do it.
Would you do it?
Yeah, of course.
You would do it?
Yeah, I keep telling my mum and dad to do it.
Just dress in rejected clothes?
No, to dress in the dress of, like, a renounced person who isn't interested in what they're wearing. It will help them. It will help them give up the material world and the ego.
Yeah, we have to simplify things. Prabhupada said, not too much renunciation, and not too much material attachment. Right? You have to be in the middle. Right? Not too renounced. Sometimes devotees, they become too renounced artificially. It's not necessary. Prabhupada didn't tell us we have to be too renounced. But not too attached either. Because all these things will distract you in Krishna consciousness. So you have to be in the middle. What is the middle?
Wearing temple clothes.
Yeah, devotional clothes. In other words, if we're going out to spread Krishna consciousness, to teach people to preach, Prabhupada said, first dress, then address. If you don't look good, right, people will not listen to you. You have to look nice, right? But not too over the top, not too attached. Otherwise, people will think, oh, you're talking about renunciation, but like that. Just like the devotees picked up Prabhupada at the Melbourne airport in a Rolls Royce. So then the reporter said to Prabhupada, you talk about renunciation, but they pick you up in a Rolls Royce. Prabhupada said, I say it is not enough. I say they should pick me up in a chariot full of diamonds and gold. Because Krishna's representative should receive the most respect. So Prabhupada was thinking about that. It means devotees should just be moderate, right? Not too much opulence, but not too much austerity either. Devotees should live nice like that. Just like, you know, if you invite someone to your house, so then, you know, you say, oh, I'm very renounced, I won't have any furniture, like that, I'll just live very... But then if you're preaching to someone, they come to your house, and it's not, you know, nice, I think, oh, maybe this is becoming a Hare Krishna is too austere for me. So it has to be like a nice balance. Like that. Not too opulent, but not too. Any points?
What is the meaning of cognizant spirit?
What is it?
It said cognizant spirit spirit. The in, second line.
In the verse?
Does it, cognizant, I think, means aware?
Conscious. Yeah.
Conscious.
Conscious, yeah. Conscious spirits. Okay. One should have firm faith that he will achieve all success in life by following those scriptures that describe the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. At the same time, one should avoid blaspheming other scriptures. One should rigidly control the mind, speech, and bodily activities, always speak the truth, and bring the mind and senses under full control. Okay. So, Drew, do you want to read the first paragraph?
The definition of Shraddha, or faith, is given as follows in chapter 22, verse 62. By rendering transcendent knowledge service to Krishna, one automatically performs all such daily activities. This confident, firm faith prepared for discharge of devotional service is called Shraddha. As a devotee should be confident.
You're very soft.
Soft! Thus, a devotee should be confident that by carrying out the injunctions of Bhagavad Shastra or Vedic literature that directly rather than indirectly describe devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one will easily achieve all knowledge and the perfection of life.
Very good. So what are the points?
Firm faith in Krishna.
Yeah, you have that firm faith. What else?
Unflinching.
Yeah, that's nice. What else?
Firm faith in scriptures as well.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, one has to study. That's how you advance in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said, by one criticism, the devotees do not read my books enough. Hands up if you read 1 hour a day, Prabhupada. About one.
At least one.
Hands up if you read 2 hours a day, Prabhupada.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Prabhupada said.
If you add lectures.
Mm-hmm. But Prabhupada said we should read his books at least 1 hour a day. And there's places where he says 2 hours a day. So we should be reading Prabhupada's books regularly. That's how you advance in Krishna consciousness. Right? So many people have trouble with their minds. And I notice that devotees have problems with their minds, they don't read Prabhupada's books. Because if you read Prabhupada's books, your mind will become peaceful and your intelligence will become strong. And then Maya will not bother you as much. But if you don't read Prabhupada's books, you're always bewildered by Maya. And you see so many devotees, they get bewildered by Maya. So it is mentioned here, you must study. And then it describes that the body, the mind, and the words have to be used in Krishna's service. That's the definition of sannyas. That's why sannyasis carry the tridanda. Right? The body, the mind and the words are used in Krishna's service. Yeah? So that's what we need to become. Right? We don't have to change ashram, we don't have to take sannyas. Most of us couldn't do it anyway. But even if you don't physically or formally take sannyas, at least in your consciousness, your body, your mind and your words have to be used in Krishna's service. That's how you make advancement. That's the system.
What you're saying is Krishna should be center in everything.
Yeah. That is sannyas. Sannyas means everything is used in Krishna's service.
Listening to the
cassette
and
all
that, is it direct reading or indirect?
Both. You have to read Prabhupada's books. You can listen to lectures and everything as well, but you have to read Prabhupada's books.
Yes, but is it that listening is indirect or direct?
Yeah, I mean, if just like on there are some tapes or CDs or MP3s or whatever, you can download devotees reading Prabhupada's books. So you can listen to that. That's the same thing. So to develop all of these qualities, we have to develop all these good qualities. The last verse, this verse, it gives good qualities that we should have. How do you develop them? And Guru Nishta. And Guru Nishta means being firmly attached to the orders of the spiritual master. If you're firmly attached to the Guru, then you will make advancement. All these good qualities will come. The good qualities are called Shubhada. Nectar of Devotion says Shubhada means development of auspicious qualities. When you have attachment to the Guru, when you're very fixed in the service of the Guru, all those good qualities will manifest in the consciousness. So this is the secret. Okay. And then the tenth paragraph is quite important. So we'll read that one. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Actually, where? Such long purple. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9.
Also says, don't blaspheme any shastra.
10. Where is that called to? Quite difficult with these purports. They're so long.
What is it about?
The word there we're looking for is Aniketana. Aniketana. Which is where?
244 page, and then.
Oh yeah, according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Jamuna, did you find that? Okay, Meenakshi, can you read that?
According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Amma Bhagavata, or a pure devotee of the Lord, is one who sees that both the material and the spiritual worlds are not different from Lord Krishna, being expansions of his potency, but also sees that Vijayendra Nandana, Krishna keeps himself eternally distinct by his unique quality of all attractiveness. Thus, a pure devotee of the Lord is Aniketana, without a fixed residence, meaning that he accepts neither the gross nor the subtle body as his eternal residence. Since one's so-called home and the family are the expansions of his body, such material creations are also not to be considered as one actual residence. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, O Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. Thus a devotee should understand that his eternal residence is fixed in the dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. A Vaishnavas should reject the gross sense gratification of living in the forest in the mode of goodness in the city in the mode of Prussian, or in the gambling house in Egypt. A pure devotee may travel all over the world distributing Krishna consciousness, but he should never consider any material place to be his actual residence. One who has become mature in this understanding may take the Tridanda Sannyasa order of life under the direct shelter of the Lord.
So, any points?
It's total surrender. It's complete surrender. It's 100% no net. You jump off the cliff and you trust that God's going to catch you. So this is a very strong person, a very person fixed in their faith, in their understanding of the Lord, can do that. Not anyone can jump off the cliff with nothing to catch them.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so Aniketana, what does this word mean? What is it? Aniketana. What does it mean?
Without fixed residence.
Yeah, without a fixed residence, right? Everyone is getting so caught up in the material world, right? Attached to the house, right? Attached to the children, attached to the husband or the wife, attached to the material possessions, right? Everyone is so attached in this material world, right? But if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to become free from these attachments. Because at the end of your life, right, none of these things can protect you. They're all called Atma Sanyeshwa Satswapi. Asatswapi means fallible soldiers, Bhagavatam says. Which means they cannot protect you at the time of death. Ajamyo called out to his son, but his son could not protect him. But the fortunate part was that his son's name was Narayana. So he got benefited. But he was calling out to the son, protect me. The son cannot protect you. No one can protect you. So all of the Aniketana means you're free from all this. Detached. Any points?
I think of the example of Gajaraj. He had everybody, nobody could protect him. Only Lord had to come. He was so powerful, so strong.
Gajendra. Anything else?
Is it a material gross and material external body? So gross is okay, that's not all, but the subtle body is the one which gets spiritualized.
What?
Our mind's body. Mind, intelligence, and the possible. These are the three things which comprise the subtle body.
Yeah.
Right? So, when we are spiritually advanced, they all get spiritualized.
Yeah.
So, we should think our, not at this stage, but when it is advanced, then we can think that it is our essence.
Yeah, it takes time for these things to become purified. Okay. So, we've heard about the qualities of a disciple. Now, we hear about what the disciple should do. Because what is the question being asked?
How do
you disassociate from Maya? Right? So you have to develop certain qualities. Now, this is how you, these are the practices or the activities which help you to disassociate with Maya. One should hear, glorify, and meditate upon the wonderful transcendental activities of the Lord. One should specifically become absorbed in the appearance, activities, qualities, and holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus inspired, one should perform all of one's daily activities as an offering to the Lord. One should perform sacrifice, charity, and penance exclusively for the Lord's satisfaction. Similarly, one should chant only those mantras which glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all one's religious activities should be performed as an offering to the Lord. Whatever one finds pleasing or enjoyable, he should immediately offer to the Supreme Lord. And even his wife, children, home, and very life there, he should offer to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He sings bhajans like that. So, the question is, how do we become disassociated from Maya? The answer is by very potent devotional activities. Right? The devotional activities have to be done very intensely. Rupa Goswami says, for devotional service to become effective, it must be intense. Right? If you're not intense in your application of devotional service, you won't advance. You have to become very serious, very fixed up. That's how we advance. So if you can't do it all the time, at least do it during Kartik. Kartik will begin in a few days' time. So when it begins, then you become very intense, very focused. Right? And that will purify the consciousness. That is how you advance in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada says you have to mold your life in such a way that you cannot for a moment forget Krishna. That's the summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Right? What is the final instruction in Bhagavad Gita? Yeah. Surrender unto me. Right? Abandon everything else and surrender unto me. What does Krishna speak of in the first 17 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita? Right? Karma, jnana, bhakti, yoga, tapasya, dana, so many different subject matters. Then at the end, Krishna says, just forget everything I said and just surrender unto me. Right? And then if you read the purport, Prabhupada says, you have to mold your life in such a way that 24 hours a day you cannot help but think of Krishna. That's the secret. Like, oh, that's very advanced. But we have to mold our life in such a way. So you're always thinking of Krishna. So, in the second paragraph, it describes that one has to use one's possessions, his reputation, and his skills in Krishna's service. So first thing is, what are the three things we just said? First thing is possessions. What you own, you have to use it in Krishna's service. You have a house, you have to use it. You have to have programs in your house, use it for Krishna's service. You have a car, you drive your car to the temple so you can do service with Krishna. Right? Anything that you have to use it in Krishna's service. Right? Then it says your reputation. So if you have a reputation, that also has to be used in Krishna's service. If you're a famous person, if a famous person becomes a devotee, what happens? Yeah, everyone begins to take notice. Who is an example of someone famous who is a Hare Krishna devotee? Who? Ambarish, yeah. Ambarish Prabhu. Who else? George Harrison. Who else? No? We need more famous devotees.
To some extent, Boy George.
Yeah, to some extent. Some connection. Is it? So if someone famous, then the reputation, that can spread Krishna consciousness. Right. Then, your skills. Skills means? Whatever you're good at. Yes. Yeah. To do devotional service, two things have to be there. What you're good at and what you enjoy doing. And if they're the same thing, that is the best. Right. If you really like doing something and you're also very good at it, that's perfect. Like if you like cooking and you're a very good cook, then cook for Krishna. Right. If you're very good at cooking but you don't like it, you should cook for Krishna anyway. But then you should also do the things that you enjoy doing. So both things have to be there. Everyone's good at something. So whatever you're good at, you do that for Krishna. That's the system. Any points?
About surrender, Bali Maharaj is the best example. Bali Maharaj.
Yeah.
That's why he becomes one of the 12 Mahajans.
One who desires his ultimate self-interest should cultivate friendship with those persons who have accepted Krishna as the Lord of their life. One should further develop an attitude of service toward all living beings. One should especially try to help those in the human form of life, and among them, especially those who accept the principles of religious behavior. Among religious persons, one should especially render service to the pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the basic message is that we should preach. In other words, we should help those who are not Krishna conscious, and we should serve the devotees who are Krishna conscious. Right? So if someone is a devotee, serve them. Right? If someone's not a devotee, help them become a devotee. Make the whole world into devotees. Right? Then the world will be peaceful. At the moment, it's not peaceful. Why? Because people are not practicing Krishna consciousness. Okay. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them to chant the glories of the Lord. This process is most purifying. As devotees thus develop their loving friendship, they feel mutual happiness and satisfaction. And by thus encouraging one another, they are able to give up material sense gratification, which is the cause of all suffering. So it says here that this is the same that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? Chapter 10, verse 9. Chatur Shloki.
Machita Makasapa Bodhayanta Paraspara Tush Kate Bodhayanta Paraspara
Kate Yantascha.
Omni Chatur Shantija Raman.
Yeah. So what does that verse say? Same as this verse. Right? Devotees always derive great satisfaction and bliss by reminding each other and speaking and hearing and chanting about Krishna. So that is the system. The devotees should avoid, it explains in the purport, devotees should avoid envy and quarrel. You see, sometimes devotees become envious of each other and they begin to quarrel. Right? So devotees should, instead of quarreling with each other, they should chant together. Come together and hear and chant, and then you won't have problems. That is the system. And then, when we're dealing with the devotees, we practice the loving exchanges. Rupa Goswami says, give the gifts, receive the gifts. Give prasadam, receive prasadam, and inquire confidentially and reveal one's mind in confidence. Those six loving exchanges. That's how devotees cultivate their Priti Lakshmi. That is the way they cultivate love between each other. The devotees of the Lord constantly discuss the glories of the personality of Godhead among themselves. Thus they constantly remember the Lord and remind one another of his qualities and pastimes. In this way, by their devotion to the principles of Bhakti Yoga, the devotees please the personality of Godhead, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. Being purified by all impediments, the devotees awaken to pure love of Godhead. And thus, even within this world, their spiritualized bodies exhibit symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, such as standing of the body, bodily hairs on end. Mm. Having achieved love of Godhead, the devotees sometimes cry out loud, absorbed in thought of the infallible Lord. Sometimes they laugh, feel great pleasure, speak out loud to the Lord, dance or sing. Such devotees, having transcended material conditioned life, sometimes imitate the unborn supreme by acting out his pastimes, and sometimes achieving his personal audience, they remain peaceful and silent. So what is this verse describing?
Ecstatic symptoms?
Yeah, very good. What level of bhakti is it describing?
Prema.
Prema, love of God. So what is the question? How do we become disassociated from?
Maya.
So the process is given, the qualities that we should develop, and now it tells us what the actual goal is, so that we understand what it is we're aiming for. This is prema, this is love for Krishna. Yeah, the symptoms of love of Godhead. Then you understand what it means to be a pure devotee. And then this final verse, and this is the final verse to answer this question. Thus learning the science of devotional service and practically engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, the devotee comes to the stage of love of Godhead. And by complete devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, the devotee easily crosses over the illusory energy, Maya, which is extremely difficult to cross. So this describes achieving mukti. Mukti means liberation. Mukti, karma, dharma, artha, karma, moksha or mukti. These four are maid servants at the house of bhakti. When you are a devotee, you will automatically get mukti. You will become liberated. You don't have to make extraneous endeavor. You don't have to try for liberation. It just automatically will come. That's the potency of devotional service. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.